Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are starting to record. We're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about the name of Allah al-Wakil. The name of Allah what? Wakil. No. The names of Allah, you study them everywhere.
No.
Why do we wanna? Yeah, I'm not. I'm going to erase that. Why? How is that related to what we have been talking about? We have been talking about understanding life using the names of Allah. Understanding life using the names of who? And I will show you that the ones who understand life outside of the names of Allah, they end up making a mistake, big mistake. So one of the most confusing names of Allah that people misunderstand is the name Al-Wakil. Al-Wakil is the one who you depend on. The one who you what?
Depend on.
Okay? So people think, okay, Allah is Al-Wakil, right? And it happened. I'm not kidding. I'm not making it up. At the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, lazy buffaloes, he used to stay in the masjid. Lazy buffaloes used to stay in the masjid to sleep. And then they don't work. And they wait for somebody to give them a charity. And they were really strong. Just like strong men. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab went to the masjid, heard about them. So he went to the masjid and he said, hey guys, why aren't you out there working, doing something, doing some job, earning your living and eat? They said, we are dependent on Allah. He's al-Wakil. He is going to feed us. Right? Now Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu had a very unique way of waking people up and correcting their understanding. He used the stick. he had a firm stick and he started beating them up and he said, you guys are stupid or, I mean, he didn't say you're stupid or playing stupid. I'm saying, these are my own words. Are you stupid or playing stupid? He said, you are not al-mutawakkilin. You are not the ones who truly depend on Allah, but you are the ones who make false claims that you're depending on Allah. So that false claim. Why? What is wrong with this claim? Okay. Isn't that true? You depend on Allah, so you just stay and lazy and wait.
So you do something and then He helps you grow whatever you're doing.
Yes, exactly. And we were going to talk about this expression in a minute. Should you expect Allah to feed you without you working on it? Should you expect Allah to wash your dishes without you doing it? Well, He's al-Wakil. He takes care of your personal business on your behalf. So why isn't He washing the dishes and doing the vacuum for you? Why isn't He serving food to your majesty on the table? He's al-Wakil, right? Now that is wrong understanding.
Wait, He can't, right?
Sorry. Not He can't. He doesn't want to do it that way. Now, He can do anything, but He doesn't want to make it that way. And this understanding is among non-Muslims too. You know, some radical people from other religions, maybe in Christianity, their child gets sick. Yeah, go ahead. They have a child that gets sick. And then they don't send the child to a doctor. Have you heard about these cases in television? They don't send. Yeah, they don't send. That's why the child protection services are there to get the kids. They don't send the child to the doctor. Go ahead.
Is that why people are against like Obamacare? Is that why?
No. Those are radical people. There are very few radical people, Christians, who say that we're not sending our children to the doctors or to give them medications. You ask them why. They say God is going to, if He wants, He will heal them. He is going, they want Allah to play the job of the doctor and come down with His thermometer and otoscope and, you know, and then examine the boy and then prescribe the medicine. Just like expecting Allah to wash your dishes or do your laundry. This is garbage. This is not what it means that you are depending on Allah. Then there was another story that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with. You know, with this wrong understanding. An Arabian guy came to the masjid dragging his camel behind. Waki camel. Did it say Waki? Or when they call Muslim, they call them, like, they want to say, you guys are the people of the camel, like desert people. Wako, Waki? Something like that.
I never even heard
it. Yeah, I heard it once, but I don't remember exactly what the word is. Maybe walk, you walk on a camel like that. Anyway, bottom line, you don't drive cars, maybe something like that. Anyway, the guy came with the camel, and he was dragging the camel from the leash like that. Then he went to the masjid. When he arrived to the masjid, guess what did they do? What did he do? You know what he did? No. He left the camel outside the masjid without tying the leash. So the camel is going to what? Escape, right? You agree with me? If you go put the camel somewhere without tying the leash, the camel is going to what?
Escape.
So he went, he left the camel without tying the leash, and he went inside the masjid. Who was observing him? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and asked him a question. Why didn't you tie the leash? The guy said, because I am dependent on Allah. He's going to take care of my camel. So the Prophet Muhammad said, no, no. You tie the camel and then you depend on Allah. You tie the camel and then you depend on Allah. So basically the Prophet was saying there are two jobs. One for the brain and muscles, and the other one is for the heart. Got it? So what's the job of the heart?
To depend on
Allah. What's the job of the brain and muscle?
To work. To
tie the camel. You got it? So he say, tie the camel using your brains and muscles, depend on Allah on your heart. But I'm still puzzled. What do you mean, depending on Allah on your heart? What is it, like, logically mean? Logically, it means that you depend on Allah on achieving success, which is the word tawfiq. You depend on Allah to give you what? Tawfiq. What is the word tawfiq? You know, people call their names, their kids know the name Tawfiq, right? I mean, anybody knows a kid with the name Tawfiq? Anybody? Anybody knows the kid with the name Tawfiq? Nobody. Okay. But it's a name used. Like they call the children Tawfiq. No. What is the meaning of the name Tawfiq or the word Tawfiq? The word Tawfiq means, the word Tawfiq, please listen to me, it's important things. Even adults don't understand that. Many adults don't understand the meaning of tawakkul ala Allah or Allah is al-wakil. So far, al-wakil, so we have job of the heart, is to depend on Allah. Okay. Job of the muscles. Are you taking notes? Because you know the homework. Is job of the brain and muscles. Of the brain and muscles. Is to utilize the laws of nature. So you got it? You have two jobs. Don't mix them. The guy said, depending on Allah, leave the camel. Prophet Muhammad corrected him. He said, no, use your brains and muscles to tie the camel and then depend on Allah. So we depend on Allah to achieve tawfiq. So here, Allah, we ask Allah for tawfiq. The word tawfiq means, what's the word tawfiq? It means success. Allah helps you succeeding. This is not ours. Tawfiq means Allah makes your effort. Tawfiq. Means Allah makes your effort successful. Is that the right way you spell successful, Yasara?
One.
Okay. No tawfiq. Means Allah will make your efforts Allah will make you fail. So tawfiq means in the hands of Allah. Allah will grant you success or failure. This is what you need to depend on Allah in. So you depend on Allah on what? To do to wash the dishes and do the vacuum? No. You depend on him to achieve what? Huh? Tawfiq, which is means be successful. The most of the people who don't understand that, they say, I was lucky and I was unlucky. They say, I was lucky. Okay, I bought the house for 500,000, I sold it for 2 million. I was lucky. And then the other person says, I was unlucky. I bought the house for 2 million and I sold it for 1 million. But these expressions conflict with the name al-wakil because it's okay, the right expression that he's supposed to say, I am, Allah granted me tawfiq. I bought the house for 500,000. I sold the house for 1.5 million. You got it?
Who makes you have no tawfiq?
Allah. Allah controls that particular aspect totally. You know, and then the other guy will say, Allah gave me no tawfiq because I bought the house for $2 million and I sold the house for 500,000. So it's not lucky or unlucky. It is tawfiq or lack of tawfiq. Tawfiq or untawfiq. Okay, you got it? So now the guy, you can use your brains and muscles and you don't depend on Allah using your heart. Allah may give you failure. Allah may give you failure, not success, which is no tawfiq. Like this guy might just come to the masjid and tie the camel. And then what happens? Somebody could untie the camel and steal it, right? Or the camel could, you know, break the leash, you know, and go free. Right? Or the camel could die when it's being leashed. You know what I'm saying?
Being leashed?
Leashed.
Oh, leashed.
So you can fully understand now that tying the camel does not guarantee success. You tie the camel and ask Allah for success. All right? You got it? So going to work doesn't mean that success. You go to work and ask Allah for success because you can go to work and still lose. I'll give you an example. How many people buy the stock for $1 and then sell the stock for $5.
A lot.
Many people, right? Who made them able to achieve that?
Allah.
He decided about that. Maybe they were clever and they used all kind of sophisticated analysis. But this doesn't guarantee success at all. Success is always in the hands of Allah. You can do the best job ever and still lose money, right? And you can do the worst job ever and still make money. There was a joke about that. There was brought three people to do trading in the stock market. Not three people. They brought an expert in the stock market. They brought a guy who has no clue in the stock market. And then they brought a monkey.
They did that for real?
They
yes.
A monkey.
Huh? They brought a monkey, an animal.
How did they know it will destroy everything?
They taught the monkey just to click on the buttons.
Oh.
Buy, sell, buy, sell, buy, sell. So the monkey has two colors, red and blue. So he keeps buy, you know, green, sell, red. And he keeps playing like that. And the guy who has no clue about the stock market, it's a human, but so he has a little bit of intelligence. So the guy looks at the curves of the price and then he does buy and sell. Then the expert, the very talented expert, sitting on the machine and doing buy and sell. To make money, you're supposed to buy low and sell
high.
And then they started measuring who makes more money. You know who did?
The monkey.
The monkey. So the expert made less than the monkey, and the normal human did less than the monkey.
Wait, the expert?
Yeah.
Wow.
So what is the story here? The story is that the expert wasn't granted tawfiq by Allah. By the way, the monkey didn't win all the time. They did it once. The monkey didn't win all the time. They did it once. The monkey won. They did it another time. The guy won. They made it a third time. Then the smart guy won. So they did it several times. But what is amazing, you got significant number of trials where the monkey made more than the expert and the non-expert. Okay? So the story here is that it's all depending on tawfiq. Why? Because do we know the future? No. Keep it. Or you can have it. You can have it. That's fine. So do we know the future? No. The future is in the hands of Allah. So do I know that the stock is going to come up or down?
No.
You don't know. So you can always look back and dream. After the stock, you can look back to the chart and say, ouch! If I bought the stock at this low point and sold the stock at this high point, I would have made money. Yeah, you can look back and dream on. But now talk about the future. So when do you enter the market and when you quit the market? Your entry point has to be in a low price where you buy. Your exit point has to be on a high price where you sell. This is how you make your money. Trading. Not the stock market trading. If you have a store, you could bring an item that makes you money, and you can bring an item that makes you what? Lose money. You can do a business. Your business can grow, or you can go out of business. Do you say I'm lucky? No. Allah decides. If Allah wants to make you rich, then what happens? Allah will make you successful. Allah will make your business successful. Allah will grant you tawfiq. So every business you try becomes a success. So you become a multimillionaire. Allah wants that, so He grants you that. If Allah wants you to make you poor, then what happens? You fail every single business you try. Every time you try a business, you go out of business. You lose your money, and then...
Why does He do that? Like, why is there no tawfiq? Is it if you're a bad person?
No, Allah has a wisdom. Because the test of being poor is easier, much easier than the test of being rich. So It is more likely to pass the test when you're poor than it is when you're rich. And I explained that before, and I'm going to explain the reasons, logically, that poor people are more attached to Allah, because they keep saying, Ya Allah, please, please, food, Ya Allah, food, food. Rich people, they have food in the refrigerator. So it's like, why pray? We have no need. We have the food. All right, so what's the point of praying? But poor people, they don't have it, so they keep praying for it, right? And so rich, spoiled elites, they have everything. They say, why do we pray? Why do we need Allah? We got it all. We got it all. And they say the ones who need Allah are the ones who don't have it. You don't have it, so you pray for it. This is one of the reasons why the people who are rich, spoiled elites, are much more likely to fail than the ones who are poor, the test. And also, the rich people, they have the luxury of choice. They can choose to be thankful or not thankful. If they are thankful, great, they pass the test. If they are not thankful, they lose the test. They fail the test. But the poor people, they are, the test of the poor people is to be patient or keep cursing Allah and saying, you're so mean with me. Why are you doing this to me? You're not giving me what I deserve. I deserve better than that. Look at my friend X. He's so dumb and he is multimillionaire. You know? And that person, poor person, has failed the test.
X is dumb, but X is a millionaire.
Yes. And I will tell you a joke about that. Really funny joke. But you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's more likely that when you're poor, it's much likely that you will be patient, whether you like it or not. Right? What are the choices? To be patient and to be patient. You know, really, it's very unlikely that somebody will go to the extreme of starting calling Allah bad names or feel that Allah is mean with him or her. Okay? But usually you're just patient because it's one choice. Okay, I'll give you an easier example. Much easier. If you have a video game, and it is time for prayer, what are your choices? It's either
pray or do it.
Either pray and quit playing or continue playing and ignore prayer, right? So you have two choices. And one of them is very tempting, which is what?
Play video.
Continue playing, right? Now, on the other hand, if you're poor and you have no video game, and you call and the time of prayer comes, what do you say? You say, I got nothing to do. Let me go. Girl, hey, you, girl, you got nothing to do. Why don't you go pray? Right? So which one is more likely to pass the test?
The poor.
The poor. Let's say, yeah. No, not many choices. It's just like, hey, come on, you're wasting your time. You have nothing to do. Just go to the masjid, pray. At least you have something to do. So it's much, much more likely. This is why I've said before, if Allah will make 10 people rich, 3 of them will pass the test, 7 of them will fail the test. But if Allah makes 10 people poor, 7 of them will pass the test, 3 will fail the test. So it is much easier. Now, it is Allah loves the thankful rich as much as the patient poor. Those are the ones who pass the test. The ones who fail the test are the ones who are not thankful rich. Rich is spoiled elites who don't thank what they have, Allah for what they have. And on the other hand, the people who are poor, but they keep thinking low of Allah. Allah has a low image in their eye because he made a mistake. He's not making them rich. He's really making a big mistake. He's not giving us what we deserve. We deserve better than that. I don't know what he's doing. And some people say he gives the earrings to the one who has no ears. Allah gives the earrings to the one who has no ears. And don't you ever and dare to say that, because it means that Allah doesn't know what he's doing.
Oh.
And don't do that. Now let me tell you the joke. The joke is a very funny joke. There was a guy.
The joke is a very funny.
There was a guy who was the top in his class. He was so genius. Literally genius. genius guy, was the top in his class. And there was another guy who was really dumb. So he was the last in his class. So one ranks the top, one ranks the bottom. After 25 years after graduation, they met. Guess what was the condition of the first one, who was very, very dumb?
He's smart.
No, he's multimillionaire. And he has a fancy car, driver, limos, very fancy life. And guess what was the condition of the guy, the genius guy?
He has no money.
He's a middle citizen class.
Oh.
He barely can pay the bills. And he has a $4,000 or $5,000 car. You know, he's in that middle class, an average. So the smart guy got so mad. And he said, how could it be fair when you are so rich and I'm so poor? And I was smart. I'm smarter than you. So the poor guy smiled. The dumb guy smiled. And he said, I'm going to tell you my story. He said, after we graduated, you guys all got jobs. I didn't. So I was so frustrated. So I decided to immigrate to England. So when I landed.
Is true?
Yes.
Oh.
So when I landed into Heathrow Airport, which is a London airport, I was walking out, and there was this guy selling lottery.
Oh.
So hold on, not yet, don't laugh yet. See, the funny part is coming. So I said, he said, pick a number. The guy who's selling the lottery, he said, you know, I went to buy a ticket, lottery ticket from him. So he said, pick a number so that I give you the ticket. So I said to myself, this is the month of June, so that's number 6. And this is the 3rd of June, so it's number 3. So 3 times 6 is 24. So he said to the guy, give me number 24. So the guy gave him 24, and he won the lottery. You just caught it. So the rich guy said, wait a minute, 3 times 6 is 18. He said, if I was smart enough to know that, I would have lost the lottery. You see the funny part? I would have lost the lottery. So because I was dumb, I did the math wrong. I won the lottery, my dear friend. And that is the joke. It's very funny that it is not by talent. It is by tawfiq. This guy, Allah gave him tawfiq.
But you're not supposed to do the lottery.
I understand. Allah grants tawfiq to whomsoever he wants. Let me tell you about another story, real story about tawfiq. You know, you all know about Titanic. Was that the Titanic ship? What did the guy, the engineer who built the Titanic, say?
When it'll never sink.
Oh, God can't even sink it.
Yes, he said even God can't sink it. On what basis?
Yeah. You shouldn't have said that. And then it sinks.
On what basis he said that? He designed the largest moving object on Earth, the largest ship, and he did a very good design. And honestly speaking, his design was reviewed by so many engineers, and it was the best. So he put plates of iron, plates of steel together, and welded them together like this. So here is a plate, and here's another plate. And he welded them, he doesn't weld them together. He puts a nail. He puts a rivet like this. Let me show you how the rivet look like. Exactly, like this. Like this. To connect two pieces of steel together. And these rivets were really good. And you have very strong body made of what? Steel. We're not talking about wood. You're talking about steel here. You understand what steel is? It's iron. You have a ship made of iron. And he was so proud of it. And he said, even God can't sink it. So, guess what happened?
God sank it.
But why? How did Allah get him?
The iceberg.
No, it was designed to hit the iceberg and it wouldn't break. It was designed for that.
Oh, so they did that on purpose? No, that was an accident.
No, they didn't care. The captain didn't care because he knew that his ship can hit any iceberg and nothing would happen. Because the ship is made up from steel and that's what they designed it for. Engineers did design it for that. So it was, the guy said even God can't sink it because he's really designed it for if the ship is going into maximum speed, if you're going into maximum speed and hit an iceberg, nothing will happen to the ship. It was designed that way. So he said, not even God can sink it. Now, how did Allah get him?
Huh? I don't know if it's true, but apparently, when the iceberg hit, some of those
rivets, nails,
they loosened and it came off and all the water.
Exactly. This is how Allah got him. There is something called probability of failure. Did we all hear about probability of failure, right?
Nope.
Probability of failure is how likely it is to fail.
Oh.
So you start the business and somebody tells you, probability of failure is 30%. Means that it's 30% likely that you're going to fail. Your business is going to go out of business. You're going to go out of business. Out of every 10, 3 of them, okay, go out of business and 7 become successful. So statistics, probability of failure. Everything you do, it has a probability of failure. There's nothing you can do that has 100% guaranteed is not going to fail. Everything has a probability of failure. So what happened? They failed picking nice rivets. These were too weak. And this mistake wasn't caught. This is it. Okay? This is how Allah got him. Allah planned it in this way to teach him a big lesson, to teach humanity
a
big
lesson.
Was
he on the ship, the engineer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he die?
Yeah.
Yes.
Not every.
Many of them, some were saved. But here is the problem. They're supposed to check everything, right? Engineers. So they check rivets, check bolts, check nails, check steel. They make sure everything's top quality. Top quality. They pick the best of everything and the most expensive. But when they picked these rivets on the bottom of the shell, just few of them were bad. And those few bad ones, they went into one plate. Okay? And that was the plate that hit the iceberg. This is an awful luck, huh? So number one.
No, not luck.
Using exactly. Takbir. Perfect. Perfect. But that, and using the language of the people who don't believe in Allah, they would say, what a bad luck. All the bad bolts or rivets go into the same place. And this place happens to be the place that hits the iceberg. And what are the odds of that? Oh, Allah wanted to teach him a lesson. This is how Allah got him. And the boat and the ship that not even God can sink it. And you can watch the movie. It's clearly, he said, not even God can sink it. And God did respond to his false claim.
Oh my God, there was a Titanic over there.
Yeah.
As a book, you should
be. So, that's interesting. So that is the message. That is the message.
What
is the right way? What is the right way of dealing with Titanic? The engineer says, the engineer does the best job, okay, using his brain and muscles. But when he stands in front of the ship, and he says, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, I depend on you for success. All what he has to say is that word. Alhamdulillah. Ya Allah, I depend on you for success.
And he wouldn't have
died. Titanic would have not sank. No, he died in the ship.
He didn't die. The captain did. He
left
on
the boat?
Yeah, he went on to a boat.
How, what?
Oh, really?
Maybe Allah wanted to save him so that he tells the story.
You know? Yes. Yeah, if everyone in the world was Muslim, nothing bad would ever happen.
No, that's not true. No. You have a lot of bad Muslims.
Well, if everyone in the earth was a good Muslim and they're all perfect little angels,
you know, nothing.
Yeah, but Allah didn't want it that way because we have already angels up there.
Not angels.
Angels, but Allah wanted different because He's the most forgiving. So He wanted people who make mistakes, who have a free choice to do it wrong. And when they do it wrong, they ask Allah to forgive them, and He forgives them. Because He's the most forgiving, and His name has to be used full name. Now, let me tell you what happened when this boat sank. The first thing that happened, yes, you can. The number of treasure, the amount of treasure that ladies, rich ladies, were wearing on Titanic, okay, is several millions of dollars. It was a huge amount of treasure.
Did they retrieve it?
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
Now, the number of people, the people who sank were the most rich, spoiled elites in Europe because it was so expensive.
Huh?
They were on the top.
Yes, but what I meant is that it had most of the richest spoiled elites.
Oh, like on the ship.
On the ship. Yeah. Among the others. I'm not saying they were the majority. I'm saying it had a lot of them. And Allah gave a lesson to humanity that, excuse me, not even God can sink it. Okay, here is a test. Here is an example for you so that you learn from. Did they learn what we Muslims learned? Why? Because they don't have Iqra in the names of Allah. Do they have Iqra in the names of Allah? No. If they have Iqra in the names of Allah, they would have done it right.
Wait, what does Iqra mean?
Read life. And understand life, so explain life using the names of Allah.
Like the Surah Iqra.
Yes, read in the names of Allah. One might say, what is the difference between somebody who reads in the name of Allah and somebody else? Easy, I can give you an obvious example. Let's talk about science.
Yeah.
The smart scientist who reads in the name of Allah will use science to benefit humanity. Will use, you know, airplanes for people to travel, stoves for people to cook, refrigerators for people to store food, buildings, bridges. We'll do all the useful civil structures and equipment that we use, household equipment. This is the one who uses science in the name of who? Allah. How about the one who uses science, but not in the name of Allah, in the name of Shaitan? They invent atomic bombs.
TV.
They invent chemical weapons. They invent mass destruction weapons. They come up with 20,000 pounds bomb. No, we want more. 25,000 pound bombs. No, it's not enough. 30,000 pounds bomb. Technology of death. Technology of destruction. Carpet bombing. You know how carpet bombing works? They go bomb one area at a time, like this. Ding, ding, bomb, 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 bomb. So they cover the entire area with bombs, so nothing, no life is left.
That's not good.
Huh? Go ahead. Well, anyway, this is my understanding. You could have a different understanding, and your understanding could be right, and my understanding
said,
could be wrong.
No, she just said that's not cool.
Oh, that's not cool. Okay, yeah. All right. I thought you said this is not true. That's fine.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
That's
so,
why you told what you said.
But hold on. Let's go back to the subject here that you need to understand very well. Reading in the name of Allah will never invent the technology of death to destroy innocent people. How then the technology of death, if you read in the name of Allah, the guns will be used against who? Against criminals and bad guys, right? If you read not in the name of Allah, then the guns will be used against the good guys.
What if the scientists discovered it on accident?
It's not only, by the way, the fault of the scientist. The scientist who invented the atomic bomb was guilty because he did it for Hiroshima and Nagasaki, to bomb Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan during Pearl Harbor.
Well, yeah, it's because they bombed us first.
It doesn't matter. You don't kill civilians. Aren't we Muslims blamed for killing 5,000, or not we Muslims, aren't the Qaeda blamed for killing 5,000 innocent people who were not soldiers and have nothing to do with war in the two towers? Guess how many innocent people were killed in the atomic bomb of the two cities, Hiroshima and Nagasaki?
A lot
more than 5,000. Yeah, do we have a double standard here?
Yeah,
hello?
Blame anybody over there.
Hello? Isn't that a double standard?
Like,
you're cursing Al-Qaeda.
The Qaeda, it wasn't really 100% the Qaeda's fault, because like my mom was saying how the Americans, they would like pay them or whatever.
Okay, let's not make these assumptions.
Yeah,
let's look at the face. Okay, no, hold on. I don't want to get into that discussion. The point here is we Muslims, Qaeda, are blamed for killing 5,000 innocent people, and they are called what? They are called terrorists.
You said we Muslims, Qaeda.
No, I am sorry. The terrorists.
Yeah, we're not.
The terrorists. We are not terrorists, of course. But the terrorists are called terrorists because they killed how many innocent people?
5,000.
So what do we call the people who killed over 200,000 innocent civilians in Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan? Super duper 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 super duper duper terrorists.
No.
Yes.
First world class people.
First world class people. This is double standards. This is double standards. What was? Now, would anybody blame United States if United States kills the Japanese soldiers?
No.
It's fair game. It's a war, right? You have soldiers, I have soldiers. Soldiers fight together. You kill my soldiers, I kill your soldiers. That's what war is about. Right? Qaeda played dirty, hit under the belt. They killed civilians. Everybody condemns them. They are terrorists for doing that. But excuse me, what do you call bombing Hiroshima and Nagasaki? I wonder, what should we call? We call it state-sponsored terrorism. State-sponsored terrorism, which is an entire nation using its army to perform acts of terrorism. State-sponsored terrorism. Individual or gang terrorism produces only maximum, 5,000 dead people in the Twin Towers? That's the maximum we got? But state-sponsored terrorism generated or caused the death of how many?
5 billion.
200,000 people. You got it? I'm talking about the people who died. But guess what happened to the people who got exposed to the radiations?
They died?
No, their kids
they got
had life.
Kids with two hands, with two heads and five arms. And genetic. It messed up the genetics, the DNA. So they got a lot of problems and they died out of cancer later. But the guys, a lot of people died. Innocent civilians that had nothing to do with the war. Where was the soldiers? Where were the soldiers? Japanese soldiers? They were in Pearl Harbor. Okay? Bomb! Pearl Harbor. Nobody's going to
blame. They did
it
first.
But soldiers did it. You're not getting the point. The point is you do not kill civilians.
Because they're not the ones who decided on war.
They are not the ones who are fighting you. They are... You don't. Qaeda is a terrorist organization because they kill civilians. Right?
That's what they do?
Yes. Oh. And this is called hit under the belt. This is illegal. So Hiroshima and Nagasaki, is the state that sponsored terrorism. The ones who planned the war, the generals who planned the war, the big guys, not the little ones, because the little ones just respond to commands. The big ones, the mastermind and the guys, the advisors, they are state-sponsored. They performed the crime of state-sponsored terrorism. We don't want to have double standards because it's haram. Same standard. All right? Any questions? Of course, your job is to summarize this into what? 300 words or more.
Wait, you said 200 and then the website.
300 words. This time is 300 words or more, because 200 words like is so short. You need to listen to the audio when you summarize.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Okay, bye.